Now, we didn't have church last weekend. Why? You were in West Virginia. Because she was in West Virginia. It was her fault.
And you were in California.
I was in California. In Redlands, California.
It was fun going to church, though.
Was it?
Because there's lots of people to see.
Well, we can take care of that.
We need to get more singers in
here. Exactly. I think you do very well leading the song service. But there's a nonprofit out there that I help out, and it was a recording weekend for them with the speaker slash facilitator being a guy named Daniel Duda. He actually flies out from England. Now, even though this sermon is titled Be Like Daniel, and I think that Daniel Duda would be a generally good person to emulate, it is something Daniel taught me about another Daniel and his friends that I'm going to try to share today. I suspect you can guess which Daniel I'm going to talk about. Any takes?
Daniel is Daniel in the lion's pen.
Yeah, it's the lion's pen?
Well, whatever.
Den, exactly. No, you got it. I just thought it was an interesting way to put it. Daniel and his friends were taken from Judah and conscripted for the service of King who? Nebuchadnezzar, exactly. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, 4 youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. That's Daniel 1:1-3. Now, that sounds like a good gig, doesn't it? If you think about it, it's a good gig. Free education, free room and board, and food. That's repetitive, isn't it? Is board include food? Room and board? Okay, well. However, let's continue in the text together. So let's turn to Daniel, chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 8. And I didn't pull my Bible out, so I'm going to read from this time. I apologize, since I did not pull my Bible out. Yeah. Maybe I'll just grab it quickly here. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 8. And Daniel 1, verse 8. Start with verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 14. Are we there? But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head. Just think about that, guys. You think you have a hard time at work? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for how many days? 10 days. 10 days. Now, there's some faith. Utterly defenseless. Those 4 kids were utterly defenseless against the country that had conquered theirs. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah pushed their luck and asked for a special diet. If you think about it, implicitly insulting the king's food and wine, right? It'd be like me coming home and instead of eating what you give me, getting two things of Burger King Whoppers, right?
Oh, you can.
And I've never done that. Uh-huh. I'm not a big fan of chicken. It's a long story. Ask her afterward. If we read on, we can see how that turned out. So they took a big chance, and we can see how it turned on. So verse 15, still chapter 1. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. You know what, Augie? That sounds great. Maybe we should start doing that with you.
No!
You're a big fan of vegetables, aren't you, Augie? French fries are vegetables.
Yeah, but salad, not going to happen.
Not going to happen? In the end, the four were faithful, and God blessed them. Agreed? The four were faithful. God blessed them. Now, the next situation we are going to look at leaves Daniel out. Daniel's not in this story, and is one of my favorites in the Bible. Short version is that King Nebuchadnezzar created a... Does anybody know how tall the statue was, the golden statue? Anybody have an idea? 60 cubits, 90 feet tall, 6 cubits, 9 feet wide. He creates that statue. And let's go take a look at what happens. In Daniel, we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Daniel chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Are you there? Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all of the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Now that's kind of scary, right? If
painful way to die is being burned to death.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to die at all, but yes, I think on my list of top ways I would rather not die, burning up is one of them. But think about this. If the king's food and wine were a problem, clearly bowing down to a false idol is going to be. And it was. Daniel's three friends did not bow down. They were tattled on. Something else that was really nice about the court around the king. They were tattled on. And let's go ahead and look at Daniel 3, 13 through 18. Daniel 3, 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that, and this was the names that he gave the boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Well, they already made the choice once. If the choice then wasn't so clear, is it pretty clear now? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," and this is why I love this section of scripture, But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. How do you think the king was?
He was very mean.
Very mean. He was very angry. So he cranks the heat up as high as it'll go, so high that it actually kills some other people getting near it. The three were thrown in it. And what happens?
God comes and saves them.
Yeah, they were unscathed. Not only that, and there's, you know, some discussion either way, either Jesus or an angel visited them in the fire. So not only did God prevent them from being burned up, that horrible death, but either Jesus or an angel visited them in the flames. The three were faithful, and God protected them. Agreed? Okay, last story before we turn to something I learned new about Daniel from Daniel last weekend. Every kingdom falls sooner or later. I'm hoping Jesus returns before the U.S. falls, but every kingdom falls sooner or later through history.
At the rate the U.S. is going, it's going to fall pretty soon.
You think so? Babylon fell. Does anybody remember who they fell to? The Medes and the Persians. And surprisingly enough, even though he was part of the previous administration, King Darius not only decided to keep Daniel on, but he was so impressed by Daniel, he was thinking of putting him in charge over the entire kingdom. That did not sit well with the other leaders. So they tried to find dirt on Daniel. Nathan, do you think they were successful? They couldn't find any dirt on him. They, you know, you think about politicians and they tried to build their dossier and no luck. However, being devious, evil, and ambitious, you know, like pretty much any politician. No reaction. Okay, that was too hard. I was too hard on politicians. Being devious, evil, inambitious, they decide to set Daniel up. Let's take a look at that. This is Daniel 6, 6 through 10. Daniel 6, 6 through 10. Usually when I make a jab at politicians in this sermon, I get a positive reaction, so I'm not sure what happened this time. Daniel 6, 6 through 10. They want to catch him. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Make sure you compliment him to start. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or a man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the what? Den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Actually, I said through 10. Well, yes, let's read 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he cowered. Is that what it says? He stopped praying. Does it say that?
No.
When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had the windows and his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. Daniel didn't change his behavior at all. Now, what did Daniel get for his faithfulness? A free stay. A free overnight stay in a lion's den. The king had no choice. Did Darius want to send him in there when he realized he'd been? No, he didn't. He didn't have a choice because the law he had just signed could not be changed. And Daniel, like his friends were, was tattled on. In this case, they were setting him up on purpose. So they waited. He was faithful to his God and they tattled on him. However hungry the lions were, and they were hungry, The lions didn't devour or even nibble on Daniel. Why? Well, Daniel explains that to Darius. Let's look at Daniel 6, 22 through 23. Daniel 6, 22 through 23. Well, let's go back to 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever! My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. And I like this. The king was, going on to verse 23, then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm, no kind, notice that? No kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted his God. Right.
And his friends from the fire.
Exactly. No harm was found on him. Daniel was faithful. God protected him. Three stories, three outcomes. The four were faithful. God blessed them. The three were faithful. God protected them. Daniel was faithful. God protected him. Daniel especially is pictured as being so faithful that it almost seems like he's perfect, never giving in. Now, I know if I ask you, did Daniel ever sin?
He must have.
Perfect. Noah was perfect. Jesus. Exactly. If I ask you if Daniel never sinned, you're going to say, no, he sinned, because everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God, right? Is that Romans 3:23, something like that? But you got to admit, you would have a hard time imagining Daniel compromising with a government edict. So if the government told Daniel to do something wrong, there's no way Daniel would do that. If anything, kind of picture-wise, my picture of Daniel has always almost been like a Catholic saint, reach a point and now they're perfect. Or the Virgin Mary, Catholics believe that Virgin Mary doesn't sin. Daniel is held up as basically perfect. No. Do you remember the training, chapter 1, it talked about the training that Daniel and his three friends were getting? Do you remember that training, talking about that? Let's learn a little bit more about that training from the World Biblical Commentary. The Babylonian sages combined many of the functions fulfilled by wise men, prophets, and priests in Israel, though they are to be distinguished from those cultic functionaries who are more especially concerned with the temple and its ritual. So he wasn't being trained to be a priest. They weren't being trained to be a priest. So far, so good? They were the guardians of the sacred traditional lore developed and preserved in Mesopotamia over centuries, covering natural history, astronomy, mathematics, medicine, myth, and chronicle. So far, so good. I mean, anybody here ever studied the Greek and Roman mythology? Nothing wrong with learning that, is there? Listen to this, though. Well, if you focus too much, my wife did the, well, maybe. It really depends on how much. You know, for instance, witchcraft is kind of interesting, but I don't think you should be reading books and books and books about witchcraft, whether you plan on doing it or not. At some point, what you focus your mind on is where, well, it's where your heart goes, actually. It probably indicates where your heart is. But learning about false gods and false cultures in and of itself is not wrong. So we've gotten there. So far, they seem okay, but listen to this next up. Much of this learning had a practical purpose, being designed to be applied to life by means of astrology, onirology, I don't know what that is, or onirology, hepatoscopy, and the study of other organs, rites of purification, sacrifice, incantation, exorcism, and other forms of divination and magic. Now, if I told you that Michelle and I were going to send Augie off to a school where he would learn astrology, onirology, hepatoscopy, and the study of other organs, rites for purification, sacrifice, incantation, exercise, and other forms of divination and magic, what would you say if I told you I was going to do that?
Don't.
Don't. Reed Brian, would you tell me don't?
Well,
That's it. If I told you I was sending Augie off to Hogwarts, what would you say? I'd say, dude, get a life. It's not real. If you love me, you would tell me what Brian said he'd tell me and Deb said she'd tell me. He'd tell me not to ever allow that. Yet Daniel and his friends went through the training only complaining about the food and wine. Does that make sense to you? Only complaining about the food and wine? Was that faithful? So what's up? Well, does it really shock you that Daniel and his three friends were not perfect, that they weren't sinless? Is that really a shocker? It does appear that they may have compromised. Now, we don't have the whole story, so who knows? Maybe there's something different about their training than what I just read or whatever. But we don't have the whole story, so we don't know entirely. But it does appear that they did compromise. But when push came to shove and they saw a clear line in the sand, what did they do? When they saw a clear line in the sand, like bowing down to that golden idol or stopping praying because somebody threatens you, what did they do? They were faithful. God blessed and protected them. Now, it's easy for me to look back and say it was obvious that they should have refused the training. But what is black and white in the current Western world isn't the same as what was black and white back, way back then in the Babylonian world. I want to repeat that. What's black and white right now in the current Western world is not the same as what was black and white way, way back in the Mesopotamian world. And by the way, it doesn't even have to go way, way back. We're spending a lot of time judging past leaders, past people in history. And even 100 years ago or 200 years ago, our understanding of right and wrong is not the same. We have to be very cautious about how harsh we are looking back on people, just as we should pray that they are not as harsh on us as we are on those who came before us. My guess is for them, it was at least a gray situation, but it wasn't necessarily black and white. Let me ask you this. How many times in your life do you feel that certain decisions, moral decisions, are gray? That you aren't 100% sure if it's right or wrong to do something. There are times it's right. Nathan, should you kill me? He shook his head no. I want everybody to realize that. I feel comforted by your answer, by the way. That's a black and white decision, right? How many people here go over the speed limit? Everybody who drives, raise their hand. Adams County Police, come get us now. It's okay. Well, at least if you don't go way over the speed limit, right?
5 miles an hour.
There you go. The spirit of the law versus the law. And because Christians should be law-abiding, right? It says in the Bible that we should follow the laws unless they go against our faith. I'm not going to go into the other ways that we could easily compromise on a gray matter, but I think you get the point. Speed limit's an easy one, and I agree. I generally think it's less. I figure if it's 35 in town, you should just do 35. But otherwise, 5 over, who cares? If the cops don't pull you over, it can't be really wrong. But the fact is, we have other areas too. Even when you do your taxes and you have that deduction, that is probably legit, but it's gray. Which side do you take? Well, a tax person would say, take as long as you can show it, take the deduction. But somebody else, kind of a more pharisaical approach, would say, no. Got to make sure. Don't do that, right? And think about what you watch on TV or the movies that you go to or the music that you listen to. There are a lot of things in life where they were gray to you, not black and white. I had never considered that Daniel made what I would consider a big mistake. Mentally, he seemed perfect to me. Daniel, as in Daniel Duda, my friend, corrected that picture, reminding me that Daniel, as in Daniel in Babylon, may have compromised, perhaps even when he should have known better. But did God hold that against him? He didn't. When choosing right, choosing our Lord was clear. When it was clear, Daniel did it. God blessed and protected him. With all, I don't know if you've studied Daniel, Nathan, Ryan, you probably have. Kids, you probably haven't yet. But when you study it, what are they probably going to study? Well, we'll get some of that. Kids' stories, they're going to do the lion's den and stuff because it's a great example of being faithful. But as adults, we're going to study the different parts of the statue and what kingdoms they mean. And then the ram, when it hits, what that means. And then we're going to talk about end time stuff. We always look at the symbolism. And with all the historical and end time symbolism in the book of Daniel, I missed that. That Daniel wasn't perfect, yet God still, when he stood up and chose what was right, God still blessed and protected him. And I don't know about you, but the book of Daniel is more meaningful to me now than it ever was. It is comforting. It is more than a bunch of symbolism and more than a few stories about being faithful. It's something that I can apply in my life. That I can know that maybe I've made the wrong decisions with some of the gray areas. But in the end, when the choice is clear and I choose right, God's got my back. And I'm not saying, I want to make this clear, I'm not saying to sin with impunity with the thought that God will have your back when you are suddenly faithful. That's not right. You do that, you're probably not saved to begin with. Nor that you shouldn't wrestle with what you should do about the gray items, thinking they don't really matter. You should wrestle with them. Do not sin intentionally, and do not rationalize to shift gray items into white. But be of good cheer. The Lord's dealing with Daniel and his three friends show that even if you haven't been as faithful as you should, God will bless you and protect you when the choice is clear and you choose wisely. Can't remember exactly how Daniel said this, and I hope he doesn't listen to this afterwards and tell me how horribly I paraphrased what he taught. But what God really cares about is the trajectory of your life, not the human failings. What God really cares about is the trajectory of your life, not the human failings. And as we know from 1 John 1:9, what do we know from 1 John 1:9? I quote this one often. It's about confessing and something happening. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Be like Daniel. You may have to wait until the other side of eternity to fully see it. But if you be like Daniel, God will bless and protect you. Be like Daniel.